Hello, everyone. This is your host, Tinfoil Tom, for Unbelievable Mysteries. We have a little bit of listener feedback that I wanted to share with you all before we get into today's episode. This is from listener Helly in regards to our D.B. Cooper episode a few episodes back. Highly suggest you listen to it. It's a very entertaining, very fun episode to do. So I hope you enjoyed it as well. Just as a reminder, you can leave feedback for us via the Anchor app. If you have a mystery you want to share, a story you want to tell, might get featured on a future episode. So without further ado, let's share a little bit of listener feedback before we get into today's episode.
Hey, Tinfoil Tom. Helly here, and I'm here with Bobby. Say hi, Bobby.
Hi.
We just finished your podcast on D.B. Cooper, and I was just thinking about this movie that I loved when I was younger called Without a Paddle, which is this really funny movie about a group of friends who go camping, and they get into all kinds of dangerous, crazy shenanigans, but they look for D.B. Cooper's corpse, or the money, I forget, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It's a fun movie, and if anybody is listening to this, you should watch it if you're interested in D.B. Cooper. I learned a lot from your podcast, and it was very interesting, and I think you have a very natural radio personality podcaster voice, and I look forward to hearing more. Bye.
Wow. What another amazing commercial to lead into another amazing episode of Unbelievable Mysteries.
One of my favorite commercials and one of my favorite episodes of your podcast.
Wow. Because you're...
This is my second favorite episode.
This is the second favorite. Nathan Barnett, comedian extraordinaire, back. I don't know how we booked him again.
I don't know how.
For another episode of this show.
I don't know how he decided to come back onto this show. How could it have happened?
Must be.
Why did it happen?
Can't believe we caught him in between live action
video gameplay for 8 hours.
But we've got him back for another episode.
You convinced me.
We convinced him to come back.
They threw enough money at me. Your producer is good. He's a good businessman.
We threw with dozens of.
You paid rent. That was enough money for me.
Oh yeah, we paid rent on this episode.
No, you paid me rent, so I said okay. Then I'll be on your podcast.
You'll be on another episode. In case anybody doesn't know, Nathan, you must know who he is if you're listening.
Every
to this
single person knows.
Well, actually, no. I mean, these podcasts are out in the world,
I shouldn't say that.
That's why? True. Why? All right. So why don't we'll introduce you again?
My gosh.
This is Nathan Barnett, everybody. In case you're just catching this episode, Nathan. What are you all about?
What the heck am I?
What are you?
I don't know anymore.
What have you done?
It's so funny because I had to do this on, I didn't have to, but I felt I should. On my first episode of my podcast, yeah. I was like, maybe I should say who I am. Because there might be people finding this who have no idea because it's a whole new thing for a whole new audience.
It's a whole new, we've been on the YouTube and you've been on television. But people in the podcast realm might not know who you are. So
exactly.
For those who don't know, we'll do a quick introduction.
Well, everyone, hello. My name is Nathan. I say I am a comedian. I air heavier on physical comedy. I play a lot of characters. I said this on my podcast, the first episode. I don't like saying it, but I don't know what else to say. I do Jim Carrey-ish stuff. Characters and physical comedy. But I also have a podcast that I just started doing. It's something I used to do live on YouTube during live streams, which was like a bonus thing. I said I did my characters, I did my shorts and sketches and stuff. And then I started doing some live streams. I used to be a gravedigger in Massachusetts, and I moved out to California in 2005 or 6.
15 years ago.
Yeah, a long time ago now. So I moved out to pursue all the nonsense of acting, and I did that in Boston before I left. And now, since I was a gravedigger, but it's kind of a handy thing for me, being a former gravedigger and really liking spooky ghost stories and stuff like that, I do a podcast called Grave Stories full title, I guess, would be Grave Stories from a Grave Digger, but it's called Grave Stories.
Right.
So anyways, that's who I am. And I'm sitting here with Tom, and Tom is my friend and roommate, and we went to high school together.
Went to high school together. We've filmed a ton of YouTube videos together. Mm-hmm. And we've delved into the podcast realm. I think we've done, between the two of us,
oh yeah, I guess I have everything. I already have podcasts. I keep forgetting that I have other podcasts.
You have other
I've
podcasts
done in the past.
You've done
my own brother with my brother Seth, and that's the second iteration of it.
Right.
My own brothers, I think we were calling it with an S. My own brother, I did with Paul and Seth.
Right.
I think I put Grave Stories somewhere on a podcast.
I think so too. And
maybe
I've done
it with something else. I did something. Maybe someone could comment. Please do that on this. I don't know if you know. We said that Tom said this in the last one.
Yeah.
You can leave voice comments in the audio clips.
Leave me
on this.
Leave me. Leave us. I mean, Nathan and I, we film a lot of stuff together. We record a lot of stuff together. Leave a comment for one or for both of us. And if it's a good question, even if it's a bad question, we can incorporate that audio clip from you
into the podcast. Like, it'll be a commercial break where it's like, let's go to a question from one of the commenters, and then it will play your audio clip. It's
and you
cool.
can do that right from the Anchor app. So if you're
Anchor thing is crazy.
If you're on Anchor, leave us a voice message, leave us a message,
and you can like
we might respond to it.
You can be a supporter of this podcast as well. It's like it's built in like its own Patreon.
Yeah,
this Anchor website is crazy. It does everything.
The Anchor website is very cool. It's a very accessible platform. If you're looking to make a podcast, I think it's a good way to do it. And like Nathan said, if you like this podcast, if you want to support, you don't have to. This is totally free. But mm-hmm. there are things like you can contribute $1
yeah.
to the podcast, and that helps us get snacks and
yeah.
keep the lights on. And what we're using right now, this is a dual microphone that I just bought. So it helps do things like get us a microphone.
Yeah.
So
the right gear.
It's a good way to support us. But let's get into today's episode.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this
is
something
why I was like, I can't talk about myself. I'm going to start rambling. I don't want to talk about myself.
We always ramble.
Talking longer.
We always ramble.
To try to make sure I'm saying the right thing, because I don't even like saying anything about myself.
Yeah.
I should just tell the story.
We should just tell a story. So to preface, we've already heard that intro where I've introduced what Scientology is, textbook definition. So we're not going to go deeper into that. I might cover Scientology. I probably will in a later episode that is much more a script. Mm-hmm. We'll go through everything, all that kind of stuff. But for today's episode, Nathan has told this story to me a few times. He's told it on live streams. But this is Nathan's own experience with the Hollywood Center of the Church of Scientology. It's an interesting story.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
They duped me in going into that place.
Right. So
I had no idea what it was.
I thought it was an interesting story. I think some people may not have heard it. And if you're somebody who just stumbled upon this podcast, I think maybe hearing somebody's
firsthand
experience
account with them, I was like in that building.
Yeah.
And you're not, I don't think you can just go in that building.
Right. Yeah. You have to be invited. And I will preface this by saying,
It's spooky, man.
I will just preface this by saying I've seen all these documentaries on Scientology. I've never personally had a negative experience with them. So believe what you want.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. I just thought that this was an interesting firsthand account of somebody who walked through a door and ended up in Scientology
land. I was in there for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Dude.
So without further ado, Nathan, tell us your story about Scientology.
Well, so what happened was, I didn't know what Scientology was. I'm a kind of an ignorant person, or at least I was a lot more ignorant when I was 24 and I just moved to California. I just didn't know what Scientology was. I didn't hear about it. I didn't know. I didn't know anything, actually. I was just about to say, I think I knew it was a religion. I didn't. The term alone doesn't make sense to me. It sounds like a science form of, like, I don't know, what is it like? It's like, to me, when I look at Scientology,
yeah.
it sounds like a sort form of metamorphosis, or like, you know, I can't think of the word, but like when something goes into the ground and turns into mulch and it becomes, you know, it's like
photosynthesis.
It sounds like that. It sounds like photosynthesis.
Well,
it sounds like
I mean,
a scientific natural Scientology. Oh, it's the act of when science ages this chemical. Because whatever.
Scientology was founded by a science fiction author.
Yeah.
L. Ron Hubbard.
But the word in general doesn't make me think of a religion.
Well,
I guess tology is what I'm supposed to use as like, oh, I guess it's a way of thinking.
You know, and I'll dive.
But biology is a scientific word.
I'll dive.
Basically, the phrase Scientology to me means Science, science.
Science, science.
Because biology is a scientific word, and the word science is a scientific word.
Well, I mean, there is some, you know, with Scientology, and I will dive deeper into it. I've watched a lot of documentaries. I've listened to podcasts in Scientology. My understanding of Scientology is that it's part science fiction, part religion, and part actual clinical psychology.
Oh, so, yeah. They tried using psychology on me big time, but they can't crack this brain.
Well, so it is...
That's for sure.
Scientology is a lot of things.
Yeah, sure is.
So let's tell...
A lot of weird things. But then at the same time, I shouldn't say that because I am accepting of everything. And everyone should do what they want to do that makes them happy.
And that's the whole thing. It's like, I will definitely dive deeper into Scientology.
They are definitely like... The way they go about it isn't very open-minded and cool. It's very aggressive and actually pretty rude the way they were treating me.
It's a quasi-cult.
Yeah, oh, big time. So I was working at Yummy at the time. Well, I guess I'll tell the story.
Yeah, let's just tell the story.
I'm so bad at telling stories. I just told this recently on a live stream, but I was like in character as dad, so it was like I kind of couldn't tell the full story the full way because it wasn't dad that went in there.
Sure.
But so I was going to say, it's kind of fresh in my memory, but at the same time, I ramble so much. I just moved to California. I was 24 years old, and I responded to a Craigslist because I was going out for, like, real small commercials.
Anything you could get.
I did this commercial. The first thing I did in L.A. for a commercial was I didn't have an agent or anything like that. I had some headshots, and I had, like, my resume of videos I'd made. This is right before I got my first agent, and I was submitting myself on Craigslist commercial listings. Mm-hmm. And I did one for a real estate guy who was had a real estate company. It was like we shot it in his friend's front lawn and he had a camera guy. So it looked like sort of legit. It looked like one of my early videos. Like I actually could have shot a better commercial than this guy did, but it didn't matter to me. I got paid $100 or $200 to show up and be funny. So it was like I was playing a dad or something with this girl and we had like a 2-year-old kid and something happened, like some guy drives his car into the lawn and we're like upset. I did that. So I was like, oh, I should do some more of these things. And I saw, it was like looking for actors for an infomercial.
Right.
So, and it said, gave me the address. It was in Hollywood. I only had a bicycle at the time. I rode all over LA on a bicycle because I did not have a car.
And for anybody who doesn't...
I rode from Santa Monica into Hollywood.
Yeah, for those who don't understand that distance, it's a good 10 miles.
No, it was 15.
It's
almost exactly 15 miles because they are located directly across the street from the Upright Citizens Brigade. It's on Franklin. Yeah. I perform at the Upright Citizens Brigade. I started performing there shortly, like months after, and I was like, oh, this is right across from that place I was just
in. So 15-mile bike castle. 15-mile bike ride.
15-mile bike ride. Almost exactly 15 miles from our house in Santa Monica. So I just go straight down Santa Monica Boulevard. The fastest I could get there at night would be 50 minutes, 5-0.
It's a pretty flat ride.
It's a flat ride. But like when I'm hustling, I can get there in under an hour. So it's on average an hour long ride. I rode all the way into this place to go to this audition for some commercial, for some infomercial thing they're doing. And I was like, what is this castle building? It was like this big, it looked like a castle, honestly.
It's a giant building.
It's really big.
If you're ever
tons of windows. It's in Grand Theft Auto. And that's what made me start thinking.
If you're ever in LA, this is a gigantic, beautiful building.
It's a really cool building. So I was like, wow, this place is crazy. It did have like a castle-like feeling to it. And it was like this big, like, it was like double doors or four. It was super wide doorway. I was going up this big staircase going in. And these people were all wearing like formal clothes. And it was like, what the heck is this? I'd never seen a place like that. I was like, why are they all dressed up? Is this like a ball?
Yeah.
Why are they wearing nice clothes? This place has marble floors, marble pillars. Why am I coming to a commercial audition here? It's not in like a casting office or like some guy's house where he's like trying to shoot his indie commercial for his business.
You're in Howard Hughes' business center.
It just didn't seem like, I don't know, entertainment industry at all. Because I've been to some auditions. I went to many auditions in Boston before this. I did like national commercials. I had acted at this point.
You were in Fever Pitch as an extra.
I was in Fever Pitch as an extra. Yes, I sure was. Sat next to Clint, literally next to Clint Eastwood during lunch. Then Josh snuck onto that set because Josh was working at the building next door to where they were filming in Boston that night.
That's cool.
And all the extras left and Josh came in to get free food, so I got food with him.
Yeah,
all your extras left because Clint Eastwood was coming in to do an interview with some person in Boston who was interviewing him.
Yeah,
and Josh and I just didn't leave. We just kept sitting there eating our food, And then Clint Eastwood sat down next to me and started doing the interview with this person in the tent outside in the parking lot where everyone was eating. I was like, this is freaking crazy. And no one came and kicked us out. And I was like, that was pretty cool. Hey, Clint Eastwood. But I didn't talk to him. I just watched him do this interview and then ate free food with Josh, who wasn't even supposed to be there. Side story. So anyways.
Good story.
I'm back out in California and I ride to this place, walk into this grand ballroom magical castle. I was like, what the heck is this? And they said, oh, what are you here for? And I said, oh, I responded to the audition. I'm supposed to meet with so-and-so or whatever. Because the guy who was emailing me, they said, oh, yeah, great. Come on upstairs and we'll have you go talk to him. And I was like, okay, cool. So I went upstairs to one of many rooms. But the reason I thought of this story the other day was I was playing GTA 5 and I did the cult mission. And they replicate the building. And I was like, that's the room. The building... The room I was in is in the game. I was in as the character. I was like, that's the room I was in. It was this corner room.
Oh,
I remembered where I could look out. I was looking out and I could see the apartment building outside of where I was. I was like, that's the exact room I was in. So I'm sitting in there. This dude comes in and he's like, oh, thanks for getting in touch with us. Thanks for coming in for this audition. He's asking me questions about like what I've done and stuff. And I was like, I did this one commercial with this other guy. And I was like, I have the whole reel of all the commercials I did in Massachusetts. And I shoot a lot of videos. This is before YouTube. And
yeah, it's like right when YouTube was starting.
Yeah, I had a VHS tape of videos from the DVDs because we used to make DVDs in Massachusetts of all our sketches. We'd put them out in volumes. It was the Sweet Ride was what we did in high school, and then
There was like Fruit Street or something, right?
What the heck was the name of the Fruit Street? Life on Fruit Street.
Yeah, I remember that.
Life on, because the street I lived on was Fruit Street in Massachusetts, and it was called Life on Fruit Street, and it was each volume just had like different sketches that me and my brother and my neighbor John and our friends would put out. So that's what I had to show and tell this guy who's like, "What have you done?" I was like, "I've done a lot of sketches."
Here's my VHS tape.
I didn't have it with me, but I had told him I was like, "I do have a tape. I could send you if you need to see it or whatever." And he's like, "No, that's okay. That's okay." He's like, "He just starts talking to me about acting." He's like, "Well, what do you want to do? What do you want to be?" And I was like, "Well, I really like physical comedy and I like doing characters, so I'd like to do like you know something similar to what Jim Carrey has done with his life and just do comedy." He's like, "Oh, all right." He's like, "Well, what do you think stopping you from doing that?" I was like, nothing. I go, I just moved out here, and I'm like, I did pretty well in Boston, and now I'm gonna like just go at it here and do it here. And he's like, all right. He's like, well, what kind of timeline are you giving yourself? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Whenever I'm having fun, I was very happy at this point in my life. Not that I'm not. I'm always in a pretty great
mood. When you first moved, and just to back up for a second, I had this experience when I moved to LA in 2009 or whenever it was. When you first moved to LA and like you've heard about this place. Mm. For your whole life.
It's like advertisement every time you watch.
And then when you first go to the Venice Pier or the Santa Monica Pier and you see palm trees, for the first couple of years
dolphins swimming by.
Yeah, for the first couple of years of living here, it's just magical.
Yeah, then you get used to it. I still don't fully get used to it. I absolutely love going to the beach in Santa Monica and seeing the palm trees. And it's got that cliche Baywatch lifestyle.
It looks like a movie. Because it's all you've seen in movies.
Yeah, it's in every single movie. It's like the setting. So it feels like you're in a movie. It's a place you've only seen from movies. It's not a regular town. To most of the world, it's not a regular town.
To us, it's still not a regular town.
It's a busted up sidewalk with like, you know, garbage everywhere.
This is like, oh, that was in Terminator. Oh, that was in Die Hard.
And I was in the height of that at this point.
Right.
Because I was fresh to California. I was feeling good. And I had hair at the time. I should mention this because this comes into play. I had hair. I had a receding hairline in the front of my head.
Right.
But my hair was like kind of, not long, but it was like a little bit moppy and kind of curly.
You had 3/4 hair at this time.
I still had a good amount of hair in the back. I had like a tiny thinning spot in the back of my head. But I wasn't bald by any means. So and now I'm like fully bald. I know some of you don't know who I look like and are just listening to me. So I'm talking to the guy about what I'm doing, how excited I was. I was like, honestly, I just love looking at the palm trees. It's so awesome out here. I've always wanted to come to California. I'm finally here and I'm super pumped. He's like, oh, that's great. He's like, well, do you think you're doing pretty good so far? He's like, you've only done that internet commercial, or not even the internet commercial. You only did that real estate commercial, and you haven't done much else. I was like, well, you know, I just got here. I was like, well, I'm here now, and I'd love to do this one.
You were also, just for anybody listening, when Nathan first moved out here, he moved out here with a giant group of our friends. So it was like young 20-something guys.
Yeah, me and my brother Seth and my two twin friends. So it was me and my brother Seth.
People and often Brad.
Think, no, Brad didn't come with us at first. It was the four of us moved out. And then Brad joined us 3 or 4
But
months
anyway,
later.
You had moved here. You were young. You just moved here. And you're here with all your friends.
I lived in a guest house, which was the house behind this old woman in Santa Monica. We had a pear tree. We had a lemon tree. And we all had dirt bikes. And I had a Vespa. Then I got a dirt bike. Right at this point, I just had a bicycle. So our life was great. We would sit outside. We'd tan all the time. We went to the beach. I had surfboard. I surfed all the time. I skateboarded all the time. It was amazing. I think I was working on the promenade, possibly at Urban Outfitters. And then I would go and just try to do a show, comedy shows.
You were having a good time.
And auditioning. Life was great.
Yeah.
I was very eager. So but the conversation wasn't going the way I was expecting. He's like, I thought I was going to audition for something. And he just keeps asking me. He's like, well, how are you doing? You know, well, you're not doing. And he starts saying like, oh, you're not actually doing. You haven't done that much. You've only done that one thing. And I was like, why is he. Why? What's the point of your? Like, what is your attitude,
he's
man?
He's like demeaning you.
He was actually demeaning me and reminding me that I haven't done much.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I always had like an optimistic thing because that's just always my response is always like, well, I just got here. I did a ton of stuff. I'm having the time of my life. I'm really happy. And what his tactic wasn't working on me, and I wasn't aware that his was his tactic until he kept doing it. I was like, oh, this guy's trying to like
break you down or whatever.
And then I started like. I didn't want to get like resentful and I didn't want to fight him because then it would show that I'm acknowledging and I didn't want to give him the satisfaction that what he was doing was working because that he would see my retaliation. So I just kept playing super positive when I realized what he was doing. And I was like, all right, you think you can outdo me?
You'll outdo him outdoing you.
My brain skills are through the roof.
Wow.
So he starts saying, commenting on my physical appearance, and I was wearing Dickies pants. I had Vans on, classic Vans with holes in them from skateboarding, and this is just what I look like. It wasn't like I was poor or anything.
Right.
He's like, oh, well, you know, like, he's like, well, would you like to get like some nicer clothes? He would like say things that are rude, but wasn't say like your clothes are messed up. He'd say like, oh, well, wouldn't you like to have a good career where you can get some new shoes?
Wouldn't you like to be a businessman?
He's commenting on my outfit at this point. And I told him I rode my bicycle there too from Santa Monica. He's like, you don't have a car. You could get a car if you're doing better. He's trying to like bring me into this, tempt me with success or like as if he's about to tell me how I can get success.
How do you get these material things?
And then I could get a car and then I could get better clothes. And I was like, well, what's the commercial? I'm like, are you saying this to me because I'm going to get the commercial? But every time I asked him about the commercial, he'd go, well, before we get to that, let me ask you this. And he kept asking these questions. And like, he was trying to like break me down in this. I was in there for a long time with this dude. And he starts talking about my clothes and stuff. And at some point, it's been a long time since this happened. It was 15 years ago. I don't remember when, but some other guy came in and like tagged in. Because the first guy wasn't working. So I don't remember who asked me what questions. I just remember the questions that I was asked.
Yeah.
It was a young guy asking me at first, and then a little bit older guy. The guy was like almost my age that was talking to me at first, or maybe he was my age, like in the mid-20s. The other guy came in, it was like 30 or mid-30s.
He's like supervisor.
He was like my age now.
Yeah.
Talking to like, so it was like the older, the supervisor came in. So at some point, someone came in, and that's, the second guy is definitely the one who starts saying, he's like, well, what don't you like about yourself? And I said, well, nothing. I said, I'm really happy. I was like, I do comedy. I'm very, I was telling him all the stuff I was doing. I was like, I surf a lot. I surf with my brother and my friend Jared. And I was telling him just all the stuff we do and what we did for fun. I used to tell him we'd jump trains in Massachusetts and like just do all kinds of crazy stuff. And I was like, I told him about the buildings because these buildings down by the pier, by the promenade, which we had just started getting on Ocean Boulevard, the last street in Santa Monica right before the ocean and the PCH. We figured out how we could get on top of this super tall building. And from up there at night, you can see all over LA. And it was awesome. So we started doing that. And I just started doing that like right around that time. I was like, oh, actually, he asked him what we had to do for fun and stuff. And I was like, oh, I climbed this building in Santa Monica and like we just sit up there and it's super cool. And I'm just telling him about these fun things we do for no money.
He's like taking notes, being like,
He's
like, wow, this sounds pretty good.
This sounds pretty tight. I should do this stuff. I'm stuck in this prison, this cult prison. So then it reminds you, I didn't know anything about Scientology. I didn't know what this place was and why they asked me questions. I was there for a commercial. No one's telling me about this commercial.
You were there because you thought you were going to get a job.
I thought I was auditioning for a commercial and then I'd hear if I got this commercial.
Sure.
And it was going to be a commercial for whatever this company was. This like castle company or whatever the heck they are.
Sure. Yeah.
So Then after the guy can't like break me down or get to whatever his point was, he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna bring my boss in, and he's gonna like explain the rest to you." And I was like, "Okay, finally, tell me what this commercial is." So this other dude comes in, doesn't get to the point.
Does the same thing.
He really starts attacking me and says, he's like, "What don't you like about?" He gets right to it. He goes, "What don't you like about yourself?" I'm saying he got right to it. I don't remember who asked me what questions, but I do remember that the guy who asks me this one question I'm about to tell you was really more aggressive about things. He goes, "What don't you like about yourself?" And I said, "I mean, I like everything about myself." He goes, "There's nothing." He goes, "You like everything about yourself." I said, "Yeah, honestly, I feel really good." He goes, What about your hair?" And I was like, "What about my hair?" He goes, "Well, you're losing your hair." And I was like, "Yeah."
Yeah,
So,
and
but I wasn't answering like I'm sort of saying it right now because I did not want him to know it was getting to me.
yeah,
I was like, "Oh, that's all right." It's like,
stuff
honestly, it
happens.
works for comedy. And I started listing like David Cross, who I loved at the time. I was like, "David Cross, one of my favorite comedians, is bald." And I go, "I'm probably gonna go bald. My dad's bald. My uncles are bald. I'm probably gonna go bald. It doesn't matter because it works for comedy and it'll probably help me get some roles."
And it has.
And it has. It definitely has. And it actually helped me in Massachusetts when I was losing my hair. My hair was all wild and thinning. Like I would get goofier roles
Right.
because of my hairline and because I kept it long and wild and it worked. So I assumed, "Oh, I'll just get like goofy comedy roles because I do comedy." I was like, "Yeah, it doesn't really matter to me because like, you know," and I listed all these other people who I liked at the time and who were bald. And I also said, "You know, I'm an actor, so there's wigs and there's like a lot of times you change yourself." And he's like, "Well," after that wasn't the only thing he asked me. He tried to like get at me and do the other classic attacks about like I'm not successful. He started bringing up Tom Cruise. He brought Tom Cruise up. I remember that.
Because Tom Cruise is the
And I did
face.
not know this at that time. And I'm thinking he probably thinks I know about Scientology and Tom Cruise being in it.
Well,
I just did not know
like
anything.
myself, if I had shown up at the building, I think myself just be having an interest in the occult, whatever it is, true crime, religions, like all this stuff. Just everything. Like I would look at the building and go, "Oh, I'm at the Church of Scientology."
Yeah, I didn't know anything about anything. I didn't know Tom Cruise was a part of this. He starts bringing up Tom Cruise. He goes, "Why do you think Tom Cruise is so successful?" And I was like, "Well, he's really attractive and he's been in movies since the 80s." And he goes, "But how do you think he did that?" And I was like, "I don't know. He's talented. He's like, he memorized his lines. Like, well, that's the only thing you can do." And he goes, "Well, Tom Cruise is a part of this organization that we are at right now." And I was like, "Okay, that's cool."
Captain of the
I was
team.
like, "So is he gonna be in this commercial?" And he's like, "Well, he's part of this organization and he follows these steps." And he starts breaking down this like logic system on how you can think. I don't think I told this in the live stream, this part of what this guy told me. He explained Scientology to me and what the whole place was. And he goes, "It helps you get to your goal faster and removes all the nonsense and all the contemplation and all the things you do that can stop you from reaching whatever you want to achieve." I was like, "Oh, all right." I was like, "So that's what this is? It's like a way of like achieving your goals?" And he's like, "Kind of." He's like, "That's Tom Cruise follows these steps and that's why he's so successful." I was like, "Oh, all right." I'm like, "Well, I can't sign up for anything because like as you know, I just moved here. I don't have any money." And I said, "I just wanted to do this commercial." And he's like, "Well, there's not gonna be an audition today." He like shut that down. I was like, "Okay, I just rode an hour here on my bicycle." He's like, "But I think it would be wise for you to look into this and sign up." So he starts offering me like these things I can do to like join. I was like, "No, I don't think I can." So basically, what the big thing that happened was oh, I didn't even finish. He goes, "What about your hair?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know what my hair." He goes, "You're going bald." He goes, "Isn't that something you would like to change about yourself? Wouldn't you want to feel more confident?" And that's when I said, "No, because it's funny and like it's always often looked at as like a goofy thing, just like being out of shape."
You're a pretty confident individual
I'm
anyway.
incredibly confident. I'm oftentimes too confident, I think, because I just don't. It's not that I don't know. Maybe it's not that I'm confident. It's just that I just don't have the understanding of why someone would be
You
unconfident.
don't have a lot of inhibitions, I think,
Yeah,
is like a
there's no
better
re
way of.
I guess it's not confidence. It's just the fact that I'm aware that there's no such thing as doubt
You don't really
or
have you don't really
insecurity.
have filters and stuff. You kind of just like do stuff.
I just think if you don't have insecurity, it's not confidence. It's just you are. I am aware of facts. I am aware that every single person has the ability to be talented and do something. But when you let your mind
yeah.
fall subject to fears and anxiety, which I know not everyone can control. It's out of some people's control. You can't control your own brain. I understand that. I'm fortunate enough where I just don't have things that block my mind from telling me to do things.
You just
I
do
think
whatever.
Of it, and I do it the second I think of it. I get it done, and then I move on to the next thing.
I actually have a story about this really quick before we wrap up your tale of Scientology.
This story, I won't go on too much longer. I can wrap this up in a couple of minutes.
So I remember it was before you moved, and I went with like Steve or something to the movies. It was in Bellingham, and you were there with like Mike Sasanovich or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And you guys were seated like three rows ahead of me. I don't even remember what movie it was. It was probably like, I don't know, it was 2004 or five. I don't remember what movie it was. But I remember you were there, and I remember being like, oh, hey, what's up, dude? And you being like, oh, hey, man. Because like we knew each other, but it was more like,
we went to high school together and we filmed videos together. And then after high school, I moved to Milford, so I didn't see you as much because you were still in Medway.
I still hung out with other people who were like, I'd go to parties and you and Seth would be there and stuff like that. But I remember in this movie, it was like dead quiet. And this is like an example of like you not having inhibitions and just doing whatever your brain says to do.
Yeah.
And you stood up in the middle of the theater in this quiet part. And this was like a packed movie. It was like, I remember it distinctly. It was very packed. And you just yelled as loud as you could, yeah, NASCAR. And then everybody in the theater started like looking at you and stuff.
I just remember
you going, yeah, NASCAR.
There was a point in my life where I thought NASCAR was really funny. Because I would go to demolition derbies with my Uncle Steve and Seth would go.
It was just...
And we thought like white trash was like... And just that type of like dirt bikes and demolition derbies and NASCAR was like really amusing.
It was a NASCAR commercial, but I remember distinctly it being quiet and you standing up and yelling, yeah, NASCAR.
I don't remember doing that and why I would have done it, but I know I probably did it because I would do stuff like that in movies all the time. So a lot of times I would stand up and fart and then sit back down so people could see who the guy was that was farting.
Yeah. But just an example
in
of
a
like
quiet moment.
Just an example of like something comes in your head and you just do it.
Yeah, that's how I am. Like, yeah, maybe make some bad choices, but who cares? It's not like any of these people are ever going to see me again.
Yeah,
it's exactly. Basically like it didn't even happen.
Right.
So I don't get embarrassed ever. That's why I was able to do prank videos and stuff like that. But yeah, I just felt like there's nothing to ever feel bad about. My life is great. I'm looking at palm trees and I'm surfing. Like this is amazing. So I don't need to sign up for your program, man.
Right.
And then he's like. At the end of the conversation, he goes, well, I don't know what else I can say to you. I guess this isn't for you. And I was like, yeah, sorry. He goes, but let's go downstairs and try a test before you leave. And I was like, okay,
so you
sure.
did get tested on the e-meter.
So then we left this guy's office, went down back through the castle, and we went to like the... I think it was the main lobby.
And it was
room.
The test where you hold on to each thing.
Yeah, and they had like a big TV there, and then these two like... They're like the size of paper towel rolls, the cardboard.
Yeah, you hold them and it tests your...
Yeah, two burrito-sized metal...
Test to see how
copper,
many thetons...
copper or metal tubes.
It's like you're testing your thetons and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, there's cords coming off of them going to some machine. And then on this monitor, there was like a reader.
Yeah, it's like it's like a wavelength thing.
It was something where it went like... to like hot and cold or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's some sort of a meter. I'm remembering a dial like bouncing around or something. But he said, hold these things and clear your mind and think of nothing. So I was meditating a lot at this point in my life. And what I used to do to start off my meditation was I would picture an all white space as if I was like underwater, under milk. And it was just white. I couldn't see anything.
I'm seeing a recurring theme with all this milk stuff.
Keeps
coming back.
It was a sea of white. That's all I pictured.
I've always been dreaming about milk.
I hate milk, actually.
Just milk,
milk
room,
is disgusting.
The milk rooms and stuff.
So I'd see this whiteness. Just that was my way of clearing my mind. I wasn't clear because I was thinking of the color bright white, but it was still the simplest thing I could think of at the time to really shut off my brain to start meditating. So I instantly started thinking of that white light and just the whiteness, and I'm thinking of that for like not even a couple seconds, and he goes, and the thing like moved, apparently I couldn't see the screen because my eyes were closed, and he goes, oh, I see you're thinking of your mother. And I said, no.
Whoa.
I said, I think I'm thinking of bright white, of this room of whiteness, of nothing, because you told me to think of nothing. And he goes, oh, well, maybe there's something off. You need to like focus harder. He's like, he had me let go of them, then hold them again, and then he said, okay, now think of nothing. I thought of white again. And he goes, Oh, now you're thinking of your mother. He said the same thing again.
He was trying to put the thought in your mind.
What is, that's 100% what he's doing. And I said, no, I'm thinking of white again. And he goes, oh, all right. Well, you know, I think you're just being difficult and you're not allowing this to happen. And I was like, and I was trying to be very nice to the guy. I was like, no. I thought of nothing. You told me to think of nothing. I was clearing my mind.
I'm thinking about nothing.
So why would I be thinking of my mom? But he wants to say like, oh, the first thought comes to your mind. I thought he was saying clear your mind.
Sure.
And then think, what are the first thought that comes to your mind? Tell me what it is. Nothing was coming to my mind because I was focusing on that bright whiteness. He kept telling me the first thought that was coming to my mind was my mother.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, man, I promise you, I'm not thinking of my mom. But then he thinks, oh, now you're thinking of mom because I said you're thinking
of mom.
He's
trying to like incept you.
And I don't know what, I never even got to go through his full exercise because he just gave up on me. I think he thought I was being difficult because he didn't get anywhere with me with the confidence thing and trying to jab me and stuff. And he couldn't get me to join. So I think he was trying to like, maybe like wow me with, wow, this thing read my mind. Yeah. Okay, maybe I'll join. But I wasn't even being difficult with the guy. It just didn't work. His plan didn't work because it's garbage. But I understand. So this is what I'll say about the whole experience. I understand why people would join. That's why they put it on Craigslist for actors who don't have agents, who are hitting up Craigslist, who just want a job, who want to break into the business. You go to this big fancy building who they say Tom Cruise is attached to it. I want to be a place that Tom Cruise is attached to. I couldn't give a crap about what Tom Cruise was attached to. It didn't appeal to me because I just didn't care. I was like, I'm going to do my own thing. I'll become my own Tom Cruise. I don't need this. Like, I don't want to be a part of some weird club. So it wasn't working on me, but I see why people come here and they who don't have confidence, because a lot of times actors aren't very confident, and that's why they want to be actors, to then be told you're talented and be rewarded.
That's like an insecurity thing.
It's an insecurity thing. So either you're super confident, you're super you're super over talented, and you know that's why you're confident, because you have been told you're good at what you do, or you're trying to get that. That's often the parallels of actors I've learned. So I think when people come to LA, they're perfect. They hit up all these insecure actors and they spend all their money on this place. And then they don't want to ever leave, because then when they do get success, the Scientologists say, you were part of this when you started getting success. So they'll never leave to lose that success.
And there is something to... So Scientology...
It's a freaking racket.
Well, Scientology, as far as... Like, the things that I've heard about it too, is that there is something about the psychology of it where they do make you like... face certain things.
Yes, I think maybe it is good in some ways for
some
people.
In some ways, yeah.
To feel better. It's like, oh, I'm a part of this place. Everyone's like mine. They're all nice to me.
It's like a community
thing.
And
we're keeping each other positive. That's awesome. That's why I don't want to fully knock it. But the way they approach it to me, to try to break me down, to then make me feel worthwhile, is like, how about you tell everyone they're awesome, and then they'll feel nice about you.
Yeah.
And then they'll want to join.
There's different ways that they could have... If they want to remain...
Different people probably have different tactics. I got the one guy that tried to make me feel bad about losing my hair.
I mean, from what I know about Scientology, that's like a very common... They try to focus in on some area where you're insecure.
Yeah.
So that they can then tell you, hey, we've got a solution for that.
Yeah.
But you have to sign up.
Exactly.
And you have to buy the books. And you have to get the DVDs. Mm-hmm. And you have to like... And, you know, without...
That's why it's a racket.
It's a whole thing.
I think a lot of religions are a racket. That's, like, how they stay in business. But at the same time, like, I grew up Catholic. I still do go to church sometimes on, like, Easter and Christmas, because I like to sit in the quiet building, listen to the songs. It's a place to... Any place that you can go and be... But I will say there's a major difference between, like, my experience of going to church for myself. I never have to give anyone any money. Yeah, the basket goes around. I never put money in the basket because I often don't have an extra dollar.
I think that's the thing. So with Scientology, to get to the next level, you have to give them a certain amount of money.
GTA spoofs it.
Yeah, whereas if you go to a Catholic church...
You can give a dollar if you have it.
Right, and they do things like, you know, if you're poor and hungry, they will feed you and stuff like that. So it's different once there's money involved.
And I know in the church that I went to in Santa Monica, when I was still going more often when I moved out here, like that church, it was really awesome. They did tons of stuff for like the LGBT community. They were very welcoming to all kinds of people and cultures. And they had priests come from like Uganda speak. And it was like, oh, this is actually kind of cool hearing like another priest from another
country talk. And that's how it should be. But anytime that a place says...
And you just feel... For me, my reason of like... I don't want to sound like I'm religious, because I grew up religious, but now I have like my own way of thinking of the universe and what's really going to happen and stuff. I like the idea of like being reborn or going to some sort of a paradise or whatever, but like I think I would like to think that you come back and reborn as like another person, another world, maybe another planet, or right. like a dog, I don't know, but souls possibly are recycled. I think that sounds exciting. But the reason I went to church, it wasn't necessarily for the religious reasons, and like, it was more just like, it's nice to be in a big building and think for one, you have 1 hour, I'm not around society, I'm not around anyone else. Yeah. I'm gonna decompress, I'll listen to these people sing. Yeah, I'm gonna go through the motions that they're doing, but like, it's really just nice to be sitting here alone right now. So that's why I often went to church. Yeah. But Scientology has none of that. Is there even a service? Do they even have a service?
You know, I don't really.
I think it's the one religion that everyone has a mass of some kind.
I think that they do these. They do those like reading. They call them auditing sessions.
That sounds inviting.
Well, I mean,
auditing.
Yeah,
that's what the IRS does to you.
We'll go into that on some future.
It's like, hey guys, we're gonna start a religion. We're not gonna have mass, but I'm gonna have suing sessions.
Well, it's like
I'm gonna sue you. No one wants to hear that.
Well,
word.
It's like it's basically like they want you to like purge all the negative stuff.
Yeah,
to an auditor.
I think auditing is a bad word to use.
But then there's other things like I know that they record those sessions and like.
Yeah, man, it's a religion
thing.
Based off of an author's science fiction novel. Not coming from a pure place.
Right.
And like, I know there's a lot of corrupt things and bad stuff that's happened over history with killings and wars because of religions. But like, the reasons, like the Ten Commandments was just like rules to live a good life by.
Yeah.
So I'm only comparing those religions to Scientology.
Which is not cut us a check so we can have an award ceremony.
Exactly.
It's a different thing.
Why other religions started, like Judaism and other things, were started for good reasons. Then humans messed them up along the way.
Well,
like
I think they're
inflicting their rules.
I mean,
you know?
I think religion started in the first place, and this could we'll wrap things up soon.
It was people
didn't
understand the world.
They didn't understand the world.
They thought the gods were mad at them because it was thundering.
They needed answers and guidance. Yeah. And like all of this other
exactly.
type of thing.
And so, now people just won't let it go, even though we understand what's really happening in this world.
And I think that religion,
I
think that religion can be helpful, and I think that religion can be good. And
yeah,
I think
it can get people through hard times.
It can get people through hard times and all this stuff. But I think any time that it's like a religious entity is saying, "Give us money,"
yeah,
to like
yeah,
do the
that's
thing.
Not cool.
Well, it shouldn't be that way.
Not at all. But so I went through the freaking ringer with them, and I made it out alive.
I can't believe it.
Yeah,
you made it out the other end, and now you're Tom Cruise.
Now I'm more successful than Tom Cruise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I mean, I think someone like Tom Cruise maybe might. I mean, the guy seemed pretty confident. He's one of the most attractive people, most successful people in the world in the '80s. He didn't need that, but for some reason, maybe he did, and he wanted to go. Maybe he is as successful as he is because of Scientology, because he, personality-wise, needed that boost.
But they also give him everything that he wants and desires.
Yeah, to be their poster boy.
Yeah.
I don't think he really needed to do it. I think he just did it.
Yeah.
Because maybe he was at a low point in his life or whatever. And now he cannot leave because they have stuff on
it's
him.
It's probably, I think it's probably good for him. I think it's like, I think
that or maybe he just likes it. Who
I think,
knows?
At the end of the day, as long as you're not hurting anybody or whatever, like,
yeah,
believe
who
in
cares,
what you,
man? Do your cult thing if it's not harming anyone.
If it's not harming anybody, but
Nilbin,
you know,
be with you.
Nilbin be with you.
Enter the Nilbin Eternal Pleasure Club. I can never see now. I mess it up on purpose so many times that I don't even know what it's called.
Nilbin Eternal Pleasure Club. Well, before we wrap things up here, Nathan, is there anything that you would like to plug?
I guess I'll just say, listen to my podcast, Grave Stories.
Graves.
Google it. It's on here on Anchor and iTunes and Spotify.
It's all over the things. And look up
Ghost. I tell real ghost stories.
And for anybody who hasn't. Anybody who hasn't looked it up, or if anybody's new to this podcast and has discovered us through the internet, look up the Dad Feels YouTube channel. I hear some very interesting things are happening there.
Oh, yeah, watch Dad Feels. That channel's bonkers.
I hear some very interesting things are occurring there. So.
You know, as I say, to stay in theme with your whole show and unbelievable mystery, I'd say the unbelievable mystery here is how I made it out of that building. How did they let me leave? Because I've heard people can't leave.
It's truly unbelievable that they just...
That is the unbelievable mystery.
It's unbelievable
so
that
this
you...
This does fall in line with your whole
you
theme.
You became so frustrating for them that they told you to go.
That is exactly why. Because the guy literally threw his hands in the air and said, "Well, I guess there's nothing I can offer you." Or, you know, he said, "Well, I guess this isn't for you." He was, like, annoyed.
Well...
So I out-annoyed the peer pressure master of the Scientology cult.
So I guess if you're ever in a situation where you feel like you're uncomfortable for whatever reason, just frustrate whoever is trying to talk to you.
Go to the Scientology Center and drive them nuts. Then you'll feel really.
And then
good.
they'll just.
Or they'll rope you and you'll join a cult.
Yeah. So I guess.
Be careful.
Really assess what you want.
Yeah.
Before that happens.
Yeah. Just do the GTA cult mission and you'll be satisfied.
Yeah, that
helps you blow off some steam.
That's probably enough.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to do it for today's episode. I am your host, Tinfoil Tom, with Nathan.
Thank you for having me.
Barnett, thank you for being on the show again.
My pleasure.
And make sure if you like the show, leave a message.
Yeah, leave a message and share with your friends who like spooky things or unsolved mysteries.
For more unsolved.
Get these. We're going to be the podcast masters.
We'll be the podcast master soon enough.
Thanks, everyone.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much. Be well, and maybe you too can help unsolve a mystery.
Yeah, now you're stealing their end catchphrases.
I'm not stealing it. Maybe you too can unbelievable a mystery.
Yeah, there you go. Throw in unbelievable. Maybe you too can unbelievable a mystery.
Maybe
you too can believe a mystery.
Exactly. Bye, everybody.
Bye bye.
If you like the show or have suggestions and or comments, be sure to leave a message for the show via the Anchor app. And if you'd like to help support future content, consider supporting the Patreon for the podcast. Link for that is in the show notes.